The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Boar.
And I'm Jess.
And we're testing something new with our Nerdy Show video, but for you audio folks, it's going to be same old, same old. We're doing a microsode on video. Previously, it was our big hour and a half long news programs, but this is a test run that we're hopefully turning into a usable product, which you are now at this very moment enjoying. So we have Jess coming to you all the way from San Francisco, while Boar and I are coming to you from the Nerdy Show studio in Orlando, Florida. And this particular occasion, the reason Jess is dressed so fabulously, is you've just recently come back from Japan, and we're going to hear all about your magical travels to the land of the rising sun.
It was magical. Rising sun and kawaii things. It's just fabulous.
Some would say it's the nerd motherland in some cases. It's generally, if you ask a bunch of nerds on the street, oh, where would you like to go? Like a dream destination. Most of them say Japan, I assume.
I would assume so too. And it's totally worth it. Like I come back and I recommend it to everyone. I'm like, hey, you want to go on a vacation? You should go to Japan because it's just great. I spent just over 2 weeks there, and I could have spent way, way, way more because it doesn't get old. Like, you know, you travel some places and you go and it's like, you're pretty similar to like me at home. And like, this was fun, but now I'm ready to go back. But like Japan is just like, nope, you're going to get me on that plane kicking and screaming.
So it seems in many ways like a completely other world, like an alternate universe of what we understand in the West, in the United States, as like modern cities, even like rural locations. It's we've seen it in films, and it seems very different in a lot of ways.
Just so my statements make sense, I was there about 5 years ago.
Oh, you were? I didn't know that.
Yeah, for about 3 weeks I was there, so roughly the same amount of time as Jess. And regarding what you just said, it is totally different. Like it's crazy how different it is from being here. Some of the things you'll notice is like the food quality is so much better than it is here.
What?
The cities,
it's not just like fun and different and weird. It's like actually like noticeably better.
The quality level is higher on absolutely everything. Like even McDonald's. Yep. It's
like
insane.
You could get something out of a vending machine, and it would be of a higher quality than you could get.
I dined at 7-Eleven quite often, and it's better than most restaurants here. And I'm not exaggerating that even a little bit.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
And what does it mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
I mean, you know, I guess our standards are just extremely
low. Our standards
low
are very, very low, and we don't have we don't have the regulations, and we don't expect high enough quality.
Well.
Okay. And most of us don't even know what high quality are, I would argue.
Okay.
Not you, probably.
Okay. Well, I would tell you that I wouldn't casually eat at 7-Eleven. I would do it if I absolutely needed to. So.
Well, here, yeah.
But apparently not there. Well, okay, so I guess what was your first thing you did when you got there, Jess?
Well, nothing exciting. I went to bed because we arrived at 11 o'clock at night and I didn't sleep on the plane. So we went to the hotel and went to bed. But then the next day, waking up, we went to Roppongi, which is basically like the Western world Japan. It's where Google is there and it's where basically all of the white people are. But the reason we went there was because there was a Sailor Moon exhibition to celebrate the 20th anniversary. So we went there.
I didn't ever find all the white people.
That's basically like when before I went there, people were like, don't really bother with Roppongi that much because it's just not that exciting. But I did have the best ramen I've ever had there. It was burnt miso ramen, and it was just so delicious.
You had me until you said miso.
Yeah.
I'm all about the shio and the shoyu.
Mm. Yeah, it was just whatever the I don't know technically how it's burnt, but it was just so good.
Now, one thing that that I've noticed since I've talked to people about when I ate ramen over in Japan and how amazing it was, it's not just microwave noodles. Like, it's not crappy microwave noodles. It's actual, like, crafted bowls of soup that they take huge amounts of pride in. So, it's a totally different experience from what we have here, unless you find a really good, authentic ramen shop, which there are a few, and there's a really good one here in Orlando.
Yeah, I've been to a few. So I was, okay. I guess basically the brief PSA here is, if you haven't actually sought out ramen at a place that specializes in ramen, I'm not talking about a sushi restaurant that also serves ramen, but place that's...
No, most of those do not know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're generally pretty bland.
There'll be some sort of a facsimile that will not be as good.
Yeah, but if you find a ramen place, so, you know, do it. But I guess it probably won't get better than what you're having in Japan. So tell us about the Sailor Moon exhibition. Like, you're a hardcore Moonie, as I would hope people know. You've done multiple articles chronicling the successes and failures of Sailor Moon Crystal.
Yes.
So what was what actually was there?
So it was a lot of just kind of artwork. What was really cool is they had some of the original animation cells from the 90s anime. So you kind of saw how all of the scenes were put together. They had like the whole layout of like Usagi's house. So it was like, this is how we, you know, make sure it makes sense and people just aren't opening doors into nowhere. They had a bunch of like memorabilia and like merchandise that I guess was sold in Japan but wasn't sold here. So it was really interesting to see like the carnival rides. And you know how like in the US we have those outside of Walmart, like the little like rocking horse type rides? They had like something similar with like Luna and Artemis as like a weird cat ride type thing.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you get sucked into capsule toys while you were there? I imagine a place like that would probably have a lot.
Yeah. They didn't have any they had some like at the exhibition, and then I bought a lot too while I was there.
Now, something you may remember from growing up, Cap, is capsule toys when you go to like the grocery store when you're a kid, God, I need to get Muscle Men or whatever.
It's a different thing.
It's a huge, all new level over there. They have them pretty much everywhere, and they cost anywhere from like 100 yen, which is about a dollar, all the way up to, I think I saw like 5 and 10 yen ones where you had to put in like, $10. So that would have been like 1,000 yen. But yeah, putting huge amounts of coins into these things to get collectible, decent little toys, they're actually not bad. Like, compared to the crap that we get here, it's interesting.
Well, I've seen some stuff that's, truly bizarre, that put homies to shame in their weirdness. So what kind of, you said you were collecting some capsule stuff over there, Jess. What kind of stuff did you end up getting?
So I picked up just a few from various animes that I'm into that I saw there. There were some Noragami ones and some Akame ga Kill ones. And then I picked up, this is actually one that I'm going to send to you, Cap. I saw it for Eleanor and I just thought I had to get it, was Sushi Cats. So it's cats like sushi, and there was one that looked like Teakle that came out, and I was like, well, I need to send this.
That sounds perfect.
So just a bunch of the...
promoting like the eating of cats? Are they...
I'm not entirely sure, but this one has like
is
a little
Korean
superhero
culture
cape.
Really leeching that far into Japan these days?
Mm. Mm-mm. Jenai. No. So did you land in Tokyo? Is that where you started?
Yeah. So flew in and out of Tokyo. Actually, here's my PSA for people, because I wish I had done this the other way around. On the first day, you're probably going to wake up like super fucking early. And like, we woke up at like 4 and I should have gone to Tsukiji to the fish market on that day, because there would have been no lines. And so Tsukiji is basically where they bring in all of the fish for the day and they auction it off, to the local sushi shops. So you can, if you get there early enough at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's the tuna auction where they'll just like show these huge fish just up for restaurants to buy, to sell.
Why didn't I go to the tuna auction?
Yeah. But we didn't get a chance to go to that.
I went straight to McDonald's and then onto a bus for like 3 hours. I have a question. I just wonder if their customs have changed at all since, well, the actual customs, like coming into the country and them giving you a little form to fill out.
Oh, yeah.
Did you bring a laptop or anything like that?
No, I just brought
a tablet or your
phone. Yeah, I just brought my iPad.
Okay. Did they repeatedly make you assure them that you didn't bring any porn on it?
No.
Okay. Whoa.
But they were.
Yeah.
They
are
US.
Super worried about, well, they were 5 years ago anyway, super worried about people bringing in non-pixelated porn. Yeah.
That's weird because also everywhere I went, there was like porn everywhere. Basically every shop had like
pixelated.
A little porn section.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they did like, so I went with my boyfriend and obviously we would go through as two different people because we're not a family unit. And so I would go through and like people would be confused. They'd be like, are you traveling by yourself? And they seemed very concerned. And I was like, no. And then I was like, no, my boyfriend's right there. And they're like, oh, good. And I was like, is it suspicious if I'm the chick coming in by herself? Because like three people asked me. That was the only weird thing coming through customs.
Along those lines, I have an interesting story from that. I went over to stay with my friend who was in the JET program, so which is basically like teaching English to children. And she's a female, and she's had, you know, just a tiny little studio apartment, and I was just going to kind of sleep on the floor. And her landlord had a like conniption about it. And he went crazy and was like, no, you can't stay there because you aren't married and blah, blah, blah. And like, I think this was a little over a week into it, and he was forcing me to like leave, and I didn't have a job at the time, so I was kind of like low on money, and I didn't have enough money to go out and get a hotel room, so I had to go stay with one of her friends for part of the trip.
Jeez.
Because of that.
That's crazy.
So they have major hangups about like the whole male female dynamic there.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It probably didn't help that the guy was like in his 70s, but.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happens with the tuna auction?
So we didn't actually get to go. They only let 50 people in, which is why
you
I
didn't
say
buy
I
wish... any tuna?
No, did not. Mm. But they basically just auctioned it off to the restaurants and they all like, you know, like a normal auction, like say, I will pay this or I will pay that. And then they give them this fish and then they take them to this like back staging area, I guess, where there's
staging.
Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it, but there are people on hand that work at the restaurant and they like chop it up into bits that are able to be transported to the restaurant. So we did walk around that area, and despite many dirty looks, because I would be annoyed if there are tourists walking through the area that I was trying to work in too. But it was really cool. You just see people just chopping up fish and getting ready to transport it.
Hmm.
And then you can eat in some sushi restaurants that are right there, and it's literally the fish that they caught that morning, and it's so fresh and so delicious.
Now, aren't you supposed to like freeze sushi first before you? Isn't that a thing? Like
no.
To kill?
Well, I mean, maybe from some kind of practical standpoint, but as far as like traditional serving. No, like the fresher the better.
I know the sushi here, you have to like freeze it in a certain way really fast before like serving it raw because it kills potential bad things.
Yeah.
I believe it, but I also believe that they would ignore it.
I'm going to look this up now.
Yeah, I know. I know that's also a California thing. It's a California mandate that it gets frozen. But to my knowledge, they didn't do it there. But they could have. But it was still so fresh and so delicious. But yeah, but the lines get really long. So we waited for like an hour and a half for this sushi restaurant that only has like six seats.
And now when I, wow, when I Googled sushi freezing, the very first thing that came up was that fish market that she's talking about in Tokyo and showing frozen, freshly caught fish.
Huh.
Hmm.
So you're sure that there wasn't frozen fish there?
I mean, there could have been. I mean, there were definitely like things on ice, and I'd imagine there's some that they'd prepare to freeze. So like there are restaurants here in San Francisco that serve what they say are like straight from Tsukiji sushi for the day. And so I'd imagine they'd probably freeze for flying over the.
Yeah, it's Pacific. It's my understanding that the freezing is what makes it safe to eat raw.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Okay. I'll let the sushi chefs worry about that, and I'll just trust them yeah, to be honorable gentlemen,
yeah,
who will feed me the correct things.
But would you trust them to cut your fugu?
Is that the lionfish?
No.
No, what is that?
Fugu is like the puffer fish that has the deadly poison in it.
If it's on the menu, I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing. Otherwise...
Well, you could get the wuss version that they bred the poison out of, so you can
have not all take of the flavor of
with none of the risk.
That's probably smart. That's probably
but nobody likes it because the risk isn't there anymore.
So it was only ever the fear that made them crave it.
Oh yeah,
like fun. Russian roulette.
Can anybody skydive if it was 100% safe? Come on,
it's pretty. I've done it. It was cool.
I've done it too. It was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
My guy was I was tandem jumping with this like dude who basically looked like some kind of Kurt Cobain cosplayer. It was I felt safe.
Jess, while in Japan, did you see any Kurt Cobain cosplayers?
I did not. Of all the cosplayers I saw, Kurt Cobain was not among them.
What about what did greasers? You did you see any greasers? That was a whole thing when I was there.
Yeah, no, no greasers.
Yeah, it was basically Japanese dudes dressed up, slicking their hair up like Elvis.
Were they Yakuza?
No.
Okay.
No.
Glad we cleared that.
Those
up.
Guys just drove sports cars.
what cosplayers did you see, Jess?
So it was mainly just in like Akihabara and the like, or Denden Town in Osaka, which is apparently what Akihabara was years ago before it got so commercialized, is what the locals say.
Now, I recognize a name or two of the famous districts, but I didn't recognize either of those. So what are they known for?
Akihabara is like the biggest one that nerds go to.
Wait, is that the video game one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Video game for the anime, yeah. It's a big, big nerd mecca.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
like
Denden
the
Town
one
is,
to know if you're a nerd.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing, but it's in Osaka, which is south of Tokyo.
Well, so you were there for 2 weeks. So I know you did a number of things. I don't know if we should take it as you traveled it or just jump around, because I want to hear about this. I want to hear about all the cool shit you did
and
live vicariously through you.
Yes, we can jump around. We could do the highlights. So we went to the Snow Monkey Park. Which is up in Nagano, where one of the Winter Olympics were held in the 60s, I think. And so what this is basically a park, and there's snow monkeys, and there's a hot spring, and they just all hang out, and they just, like, run right by you, and you can just hang out with monkeys for as long as you want.
Can you sit in the hot springs with monkeys and just,
you
like,
you can't sit
chill
in the
out?
Hot springs with the monkeys. They're actually very territorial with the hot springs. And there's like a caste system, so only certain monkeys are allowed to go in the hot spring. But I think we saw some rebel monkeys while we were there. So there was
were
one
they
that
greasers?
Was, yeah. there was one that was just sitting there and kind of just chilling by himself. And then there were like these other monkeys around the edge that weren't able to go in. And so then when that monkey left, they all are kind of like just looking around and looking at each other. And you just see one just like stick his paw in really quick and like draw it back out and look around, be like, did you see me? And then like slowly put his paw back in and then eased his way into the hot spring. But so that was pretty fun. But probably the ultimate highlight was staying at the world's first robot hotel.
Oh, yeah, I saw you checked into that. I wanted to ask about that.
We rated that in our top 20 nerdy things of 2015, the number 11 nerdiest thing. Was it opening last year? So I was thrilled that you guys got a place there. What was it like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was like definite. This is happening on the list. I'm not going to Japan and not going to this. So there was bonus points because I didn't realize when I booked it. It's at what they call Huisten Bosch, which is a Japanese theme park that's like styled after the Netherlands. So it's like this weird European like theme park village. And the hotel happens to be part of it, which I didn't know at the time. So you check in. And as an English speaker, you check in with an animatronic velociraptor who bows to you and wears a little hat. Then like you get a little receipt print out of like where your room is.
Now, is it mainly like stuff on a screen and then it's reacting to that, or how does that work? I can't imagine that it has voice recognition and you were able to get through it.
No, I thought it would. So I actually walked up and it was like, good evening. What is your name? And I said my name and nothing happened. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's not right. So then it like said, enter your name on the pad next to you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I did that. But what is cool, we didn't use it though. There's a robotic like coat check or luggage check. So you load up your luggage on this conveyor belt and like there's this huge robotic arm that just comes in and like picks up your luggage and puts it in the locker and then we'll take it out and give it back to you when you're done.
Sort of like safekeeping type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The doors had like facial recognition. So you could just check in with your face if you wanted to.
Did you do that?
I did it. I was sort
I saw a video of someone trying it out when the news broke of this hotel's existence, and it didn't work.
It actually worked really well. Maybe it was just not secure, and it was just like, that's a face, and anybody could have gotten it.
Welcome, Gaijin.
Yeah.
Eyes detected.
But then the creepiest thing was in each room, there's what they call Churi-chan. And it's this like pink and yellow and green robot. It just sits and like its head will rotate back and forth. But you can talk to it and you can say like, what's the weather? Like, how are you? Sing a song. But the English voice is so depressing and creepy. So you'll say things to her and she'll misunderstand you. So at one point she was like, oh, you don't want me to talk now? Okay. I will be quiet until you tell me I can talk again. She's like, and just the most depressed Marvin, female Marvin voice.
Yeah.
And then like, I felt so bad. I was like, no, Churi, you could talk. And she's like, oh, I can talk again? Yay.
Now my life is complete.
Wow.
And then she
sang. Thanks for allowing
songs.
Me to perform my basic function, human.
Right. And then she sang awkward songs and, you know, did things like holding notes. Was like, But I'm glad I didn't get murdered in my sleep. It was she was a little creepy at times.
Let me tuck you in.
I'm so happy you
snug.
Are here.
Meatbag, do you require fluids?
Now, you also slept I assume that was a full hotel accommodations, normal human bed.
Yes.
But you did also sleep in a pod hotel.
I did. So it was actually a trek or an adventure to find one in order to book it. Most of the pod hotels in Tokyo are male only. And there's a few that have female floors, but they looked really shitty. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stay in like a gross pod hotel if I'm going to do this. But there was one in Kyoto called 9 Hours that has separate ladies and men's floors. And it's meant
and it
to
actually
be like,
ejects you out of the capsule after
yes.
9 hours.
Yes.
Wait, did it?
Shoot you across. Shoot you. No, it didn't.
That's like the cannon on top of the Samurai Pizza Cats.
Why
building.
Did it click when I got in?
Yeah, but it's like it was made to look like all futuristic. So like the insides were all white and like LED backlights behind there. And the pods were meant to seem futuristic. It was interesting to experience. I don't think I would stay in one again, mainly because in your pod, like the way you separated yourself from other people was just like a screen that you pulled down. So you could hear everything. So like you could hear when people got into their pods. You could hear when their alarms went off in the morning. It was
you
just
could hear them masturbating furiously to their pixelated porn.
Yeah. it was not a good.
That's
good
weird. I always just assumed that they were legit pods, like sealed.
Don't you remember Tom Green's Subway Monkey Hour?
You know what? I love him. That is the only Tom Green thing I've never seen.
What? It's you need only... to watch that immediately.
Okay. I mean, like
he stayed in a capsule hotel and they had like little screens, you know, covering him. And he went around waking everybody up and giving them a go fork yourself t-shirt because he was dressed like a giant fork.
Oh,
trying
God.
To trying to spread the word.
That's beautiful. No, I mean, like I've seen everything he's done, like even like Bob the Butler and shit like that. But like not Subway Monkey Hour,
oh,
much to my dismay.
Beautiful.
All right, I'll do it. I mean,
he,
I want to.
He
do
drives
it.
Around and finds like monkeys in the hills in Japan, and they coax one into their minivan that they rented, and it poops everywhere and destroys it. And it's great. It's a good time. It's a good tour of Japan.
Awesome. All right. Cool. I'll...
If we can find anything about it on the internet, we'll link it.
Okay.
But no promises to the viewers.
Yeah. well, okay, cool. So pods are right out. Love hotels? Did you do any of those?
Whoa!
didn't do the love hotels, but walked by plenty. And like the street
now,
ones.
If
where
she
you check
did
in with a vending
do
machine.
One of those, do you think she would actually tell us?
Wait, you check in with a vending machine?
Yeah, for ultimate discretion.
Wow. Except for hey, using that love hotel vending machine, pal.
Yeah.
Not too
but
discreet.
They have, like, they have little previews of them outside the, like, in the shop window, so you can look at them. And there are very interesting themes that you can choose from. Like, there was a Hello Kitty BDSM room that you can rent for a few hours.
Oh man, that sounds a little worth it just to go in there and
yeah,
pose on the bed. Wow. And I guess
Cap is booking a flight right now.
I guess their copyright laws are kind of like, I mean, they're that is existing out in the open and no one stopped them, so they must be a little different over there. What they
Hello Kitty is everywhere over there.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was a registered official BDSM.
It might be. I saw like Hello Kitty stores and there was Hello Kitty like keychains in every single place you could possibly go.
Man, that sounds hilarious. All right.
Do they still have the horrifying Disney stuff everywhere?
Not everywhere, but there were a few where you just look
really,
at it and you're like...
The really giant lips and the really bad drawings. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I don't.
There weren't everywhere, but there were definitely a few.
Japan, for some reason, has really weird versions of Disney characters that have gigantic lips and the rest of the... Their bodies are just drawn really poorly. And there's merch for these things everywhere. I don't understand why people would buy it or why it exists, but it's a thing.
That sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. what else aside from sleeping accommodations? You went to Osaka, Kyoto, mm-hmm. Tokyo. Where else you go?
Nagasaki. And then Nagano, which is where the monkeys were. Oh, and then Koya-san, Mount Koya, which was founded by a Buddhist monk, or not really founded, but he was gifted by one of the Japanese emperors to start building temples in Mount Koya. So it's a bunch of Buddhist temples up there. And you have to take like a cable car to get there. And we stayed in a temple one night, which was really cool. And then went to the Buddhist prayers in the morning, which I didn't know was happening, but it was still, it was pretty cool to see.
I just imagine you walking down, like still in your nightgown or something, like, oh, where's breakfast? Oh shit, there's a bunch of people praying here.
No, they made it very, very clear that, like, you do not come in your yukata. Do not come. Jeans are okay. Do not come in your yukata. And I was like, okay. Yes, sir.
That's just good life advice, though. Don't come in your yukata.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so anyway, so that was just a really cool area. It was very, like, peaceful and, like, foresty and cool, cool temples. I guess more on the weird side of things, we went into one of the, like, Japanese photo booths, which girls go into that eyes bigger and your skin whiter.
Yeah. And then you can decorate them. And
yeah, I saw there's Little Tokyo in Los Angeles. They've, like, imported.
I have seen one in the United States since.
Yeah,
I feel like they have them at Dave and Buster's or something.
Really? I mean, I saw some that were imported that were, like, sized to accommodate groups of around 8 or more people.
Interesting.
Like, for all the schoolgirls to pile in and really, like, mm-hmm. have a proper clusterfuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, Steven could only go in because I was with him. Like, there's signs. Be like, men are not allowed in the photo booth unless they're accompanied by a female.
Man, all right. So what else did you encounter with this bizarre gender division stigmas that Japan is afflicted with? Like, it seems like you guys were coming up against some stuff pretty regularly.
Yeah, I guess not much that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, so there was, like I said earlier, there's like sex sections of a lot of stores. And what was interesting in a lot of these was the Japanese, I guess, fleshlights, you would call them, but they were like torsos. They were like little miniature torsos of like anime girls, but fleshlight like sized. And it was just very interesting. And
so no legs or arms, just the
no
torso.
No legs or arms, just the torso, but like small. Like, I mean, like 6 inches long. Like,
yeah, one thing I noticed
a
few times was you'd be in a store and you'd be like, it is a normal store, and you're looking at normal stuff. Yeah. And then you'd be like, oh, I'm just going to walk up these stairs. And then it would continue to be normal and you'd be like, oh, cool. I wonder what's on the third floor. And then boom, just porn everywhere.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. It happened several times.
And then in like places like Akihabara, there's just like in the candy section. So like we were doing souvenirs the last day and we actually kind of got horrified, not horrified, but we're like desensitized. So we were trying to think of like, what weird shit can we bring back? Cause that's what you do. But we were like, nothing seems that weird anymore. Like what can we bring back? But we did find this candy, and, or at least we assumed it was candy. We weren't sure when we bought it, but it was basically like, it was different bra sizes on like anime girls, and like it was wet and so you could see through them, but this was like in the normal candy aisles next to like the weird flavored Kit Kats. So we brought them back, but then when you tried the candies, they were actually gross. They were like really salty, so I don't know if it was meant to like be like sweat flavored or something, of like this is like eating candy from these girls' boobs or something. It was very weird.
Oh.
That sounds shockingly like a good deduction there as to what that may have been.
They do have drinks over there that were called Sweat, and I never wanted to try one.
Yeah, I think that was probably a good call.
Did you fall in love with any vending machine drinks? I definitely did several times.
None of like the super crazy ones, because I'm not like a fan of a lot of like super sweet things. Mm. But I just love the milk tea.
Well, some of them had like corn soup.
Oh, really? I never saw corn soup.
Corn, not porn.
Oh, corn. I was like, what is porn soup? Is it just little dicks and boobs?
It's little boob noodles, little dick noodles.
No, I didn't buy any porn candy like you did.
Nope.
But some interesting ones that I found were a hot pancake drink.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Is that what it sounds like?
It tasted like drinking a warm pancake dinner or lunch, breakfast.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It was great for like a few sips and then you're like, I am done with this. Kind of like pancakes. I can't eat very many pancakes. I get really fucking sick of them.
Interesting.
But anyway, there was some sort of a weird like peach cold fruit drink that I really loved, but I only found it.
Did it have
one...
like the gelatin inside?
No, this particular one didn't, but I had a few of those gelatin ones. But I found it in one vending machine, like when I first got there, and then I didn't see it for about 2.5 weeks. I was freaking out trying to find it everywhere. It was like in a neighboring city that I found the thing. And then one time we went to Tokyo for a day, 'cause I stayed in a little town, and we just went into Tokyo for like a while and then left. But when we were like in between Tokyo and the other place, we were at this train station and I was like, that vending machine has it. That vending machine has it. And I just ran off of the train, like at the stop and almost missed my train trying to get this beverage.
That's great. That sounds like a very anime thing to do.
But all of their beverage machines have both cold and hot drinks.
Shut up.
Well, not all of them, but most of them.
Was the pancake one a hot drink?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the pancake one was in the hot section. Unreal. Like they would be labeled whether they were going to be a hot drink or a cold drink, and they come out like it's really bizarre, like as an American anyway, to put money into a machine and have like a hot can roll out. <you know? laughs> But it was delightful. Occasionally there was a hot peach drink that I had that I really loved, and the same thing with convenience stores, because I think the hot peach drink that I got was actually at a 7-Eleven. There's a hot drink,
yeah, they have like a separate little like
section. Yeah,
well, not fridge, but like hot box, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, weird. So weird.
Yeah, you have to like not be afraid to try things, like just try absolutely anything that looks mildly interesting to you, because you'll probably be delighted.
Yeah. And the vending machines everywhere are like super convenient.
As Jess found out.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to anybody who's... Sorry, if you have any advice to give to anybody as far as attempting a Japanese trip, you've given a little bit, like any additional advice, but then we can also come back to that because you were about to say something, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I was just going to say, I thought of the other thing in terms of like the gender things. If you didn't know, subway groping is still a thing that happens in Japan. So we would be in subways and there would be little like signs, that, like no groping signs, basically, is what we thought they were.
I love that
like,
they need to be told.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also don't talk on your cell phone signs everywhere. Like,
yep. Huh. But I guess it's so much of a thing that there's also like women only cars during rush hour. So you go up and like, it'll be like this pink flowered car and only women are allowed to go into it. And then also, other interesting fact that I learned was, like upskirt cameras are also still a thing, or people will take it with their cell phones. So in some of the train stations, there were like little warnings saying like, beware of upskirt cameras, like look behind you.
And then there's like the upskirt cafe, which completely sends the other message there.
Right. Mixed signals. Is this okay? Is it not okay? But yeah. And so it's also, illegal in Japan to not have a, like camera, like lens noise, on your cell phone.
Oh, yep. Yep. For a while, I feel like that was a thing here, but then all of a sudden, after a while, we're able to turn off the noise again.
Yeah,
I don't understand what happened there, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I put a Japanese SIM card in while I was there, and so all of a sudden, my like the shutter sound came back on, and I was so confused, and I was getting so annoyed because I'd be in these like nice Zen gardens, and it would just be this annoying like little plop plop
chui chui.
Yeah, and I was just like, turn off! How do I turn you off? Yeah, and then I came back and the sound was off again. So, real thing. They don't let you turn off your shutter sound.
I guess it's just not a problem here.
Because, like,
yeah,
it's, man, I, you know, you think we have problems here, and then you realize that maybe we don't. You know, maybe it's just not as bad. Because, like, that's a weird, that's a mass social malfunction, that there's, like, these dudes who are, I don't know, like, obsessed with pervy pursuits to the extent that everyone has to be constantly warned about it and cell phone companies have to change their practices due to it. And that's pretty insane. I mean, I've heard of that. You know, this is not news to me, but it's kind of funny to be reminded of it to this degree and, like, how much of a problem it really is. Which is very,
just, if you caught any of them doing it, chances are they would just, like, get afraid and run away, though.
Yeah.
And blood would come out their nose and they'd fall backwards and you just see their feet.
Oh, right. God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a cloud of dust as they ran away.
But did you feel safe there the whole time? Because, like, I felt absolutely no threat whatsoever from anything.
Yeah.
That's like, one of the coolest things is you can be in a city that's just hugely populated, people all around you, and you just don't feel the threat that you feel here.
Huh.
Yeah, and super clean, too. Like, I mean, so what was really interesting is, like, there's no garbage cans on the street, like, at all in Tokyo. Like, we would be carrying trash around or, like, empty water bottles for just miles because we'd be like, where is there a trash can? I would like a trash can, please. But no litter or anything on the ground at all.
I don't remember what I did with mine. That's not a thing that my memory has held.
Yeah, it was mainly just, like, walking around in the city. So, like, all of the vending machines usually had, like, a little drink bottle, like, recycling thing. But if you were eating something on the go and had, like, actual garbage, I couldn't really find one unless we got to a train station or a metro stop or something. I think because people don't really eat on the go there. They don't, like, eat and walk. They just sit at a place, eat, throw away their garbage there, and then go on to their next destination.
Hmm. That is not a problem I remember dealing with. But then again, I was in a small town most of the time, so maybe there were places to put things there. I have no idea. That's interesting, though.
Any other highlights?
Went to a baseball game, which is completely different than going to a baseball game here. The fans are super noisy and rowdy and, like, cheer the whole time. And one had, like, a brass band with them. I don't know if they were technically with the team or,
like,
if they're just fans. Yeah, in the stands. So they just, like, were playing these songs, and they all had these, like, chants and songs for when their team were at bat, and it was just really rowdy and fun. And the beer delivery system was rather interesting in that there were just these tiny little girls who had kegs strapped to their backs, and they literally ran up and down the aisles during the whole game and just poured and sold beer from there.
Huh.
Wow. Okay. That's some Donkey Kong like shit right
sounds
there.
Sounds like a back problem waiting to happen.
True.
Yeah.
And stare
and
problems.
Like, they're in, like, at some point they're just, like, dripping sweat because, like, they've been running up and down stairs the whole game. But they were pretty impressive.
Now, if they drip sweat in your beer, that's probably a bonus.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, you're very lucky. You're very hot today. You.
All right. So is that the trip?
I think that's the main highlights of the trip, I would say.
Cool. Good trip.
Yeah.
So is there
next fall.
Any advice you would give to anybody attempting such a thing? Any additional advice?
I mean, honestly, if you have the luxury, I would say don't plan for any less than 2 weeks because I just don't think you will feel like you've had enough time at all.
Yeah, 1 week is definitely not enough time. Like, you,
yeah,
you just start to get the hang of things after about a week.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah. So I think in the planning, I think Kyoto is absolutely a must to go to, They call it the place where the Japanese go to learn about their culture. There's just tons of temples and shrines, and it's very traditional and very interesting and very cool.
I went to Nikko for that, which is a temple city further north.
Oh, yeah.
That has the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil monkeys, the original mm-hmm. ones.
Huh. Neat.
Yeah, but the fun thing about that was I showed up after, like, it was starting to get dark, and they closed everything. So we took a trip to the city, and everything was pretty much closed. So we walked around this temple city in the dark, and it was kind of amazing because, you know, you couldn't see that well, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, boom, there's a gigantic stone archway, you know, like...
Catch any pose?
It was a unique experience. No, I didn't see any. I did not.
I've actually wanted to do a thing of like touring in the dark, because I do. I think it's really cool, and it's like a whole different experience to see things. Like I did Washington, D.C. at night, and I feel like it's way better than touring Washington, D.C. in the day.
D.C. At night is really beautiful, especially the when you can get into sort of the monument spaces.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't want to do that unless I was armed, though.
It's not. There's parts of D.C. that are very bad, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
And one of my favorite memories of being in another city in the dark was Brighton in the U.K. They've got the famous Brighton Pier, but I went there at the first time during the dead of winter. So the pier... the parts with the arcade machines and the slot machines and so on, that was still open, but all the funfair stuff, it because it was freezing out and because it's on the ocean and all that, it was all shut down. But you could still go out there. There were no restrictions whatsoever. It was like being in an abandoned. Well, it was being in an abandoned theme park at night. There was just no lights whatsoever. The only lights were coming from like what once you're all the way out there is like the distant arcade lights. So it has this really great creepy vibe to it, and there's no one else out there except for other people maybe, you know, being meddling teens and whatnot, but that was good. It's always good to do weird shit in the dark. Did you know that all the programming on the Nerdy Show Network is entirely listener-supported? You won't be funding, fantastic voyages like Jessica's trip to Japan, but you will be funding our continued existence, and sometimes us buying fancy Doritos from Japan, such as these. There's some kind of spicy taco flavor. I'm really excited to try these out in a forthcoming episode of Dungeons and Doritos, our tabletop role-playing podcast. But we entirely rely on your contributions. So if you go to nerdyshow.com/support, you can find every potential avenue for that, including ones that don't involve money. But here's a quick rundown. You can give us a one-time donation. You can shop on Amazon via our links, and anything you buy, including stuff we mentioned on this episode, what of it we can find, that it's on Amazon.
Or everyday household items.
Yeah, that's true. Like Ecto Cooler, for example.
Mm-hmm. So much Ecto Cooler.
Which is a necessity. And if you don't own any of it, you probably should score a pack. If you have Amazon Prime, because that's currently, as of this episode's recording, what is required of you. But you could also just buy a mop. That's a household product.
You
Why
could
not?
Buy a mop. Yeah.
You could buy
and
a mop.
Clean up all of your problems.
Some problems don't wash away, but the ones that can, you will mop them up right up.
Yeah.
Anything you buy on Amazon via our links helps support the Nerdy Show Network. And also, perhaps most importantly, you can subscribe to us on Patreon, where we'll give you all kinds of cool bonus features. In fact, some of them include even $1 will get you early releases of all of our shows across the network. Probably the show that's most commonly early is Wicked Anime, our main source for Japanese culture here on the Nerdy Show Network. So if you haven't ever checked them out and you enjoyed this episode, you probably should check out Wicked Anime. And if you like getting things early, you should subscribe to us on Patreon, because you'll get Wicked Anime several days early most times. Also, you can rate and review us on iTunes, and that costs absolutely nothing. They will make you jump through a lot of hoops processing your credit card information, but you won't actually get charged anything. And for all those hoops, you'll be able to freely tell Nerdy Show that you like us a lot. Give us a 5-star rating, maybe leave a review, and if you leave a review, we'll read it on an episode. You have nothing to lose, just a little bit of time, and we'll be very, very appreciative. So, we hope you do that stuff, because...
Very, very appreciative.
Oh yeah, super appreciative.
Very.
I mean, basically, it's carte blanche for you to say something real weird and for us to repeat it here on the air and potentially provide color commentary if it warrants discussion. So that's maybe a challenge to you. Could be.
Yeah, you could find a new way to complain about Derpy Show not being around. That's a thing that people do.
Yeah, it's real popular these days to complain about how the lack of Derpy Show.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing.
So you could do that. It's an option. Complain about the lack of some of the other programs as well. We're listening. Anyway, you should do that. And if you are doing that, thank you very, very much. Well, I guess that's the show. So thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on a regular episode of Nerdy Show, where we'll talk about the latest news and so on. Lots of big news from E3, lots of exciting stuff that we're pretty excited to talk about. Taking us out is a track by Heaven Pegasus with special guest Andy Hegedus.
That's a tongue twister right there.
It is a bit of a tongue twister. See, Heaven Pegasus' actual last name is Hegedus, and this is their sister, Andy Hegedus. So Heaven Pegasus, Andy Hegedus.
What?
Yeah, one and the same, but different.
All right, well, let's just listen to that then.
So this is a song the two of us are always forgetting. What I have forgotten about it is which anime this is from, but this is from Heaven's record that they did under the moniker Mouth's Cradle, where they took songs from anime and made their own translations into English. It's pretty fantastic. I'll link to an episode that we did interviewing them. This is actually a pretty rare song now. For reasons I don't know, that entire record has disappeared off the internet. I don't know if it was rights or what, but we're going to play this right now. So it's a great track. The Two of Us Are Always Forgetting by Heaven Pegasus and Andy Hegedus.
Life is like a comedy, a carnival, so carefree. We're spinning round, going on our way, and living out our school days. Enough feels as if the end never comes to this. To remember you.
Even though we're growing apart, I miss you.
It's hard to think we're growing apart, I miss you too.
You'll always be special to me.
Thank you.
try to remember you.
Even though we're growing apart, I miss you.
It's hard to think growing apart, I miss you too.
You'll always be special to me.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows in the Nerdy Show network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.